The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perro columnist for Stockhead. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. Now, we've got an interesting one today, Anson Resources. The code is ASN. It's trading at around 13.5 cents for a market cap of 138 million. And it's very much part of the lithium wave. The flagship project is the Paradox Lithium Brine Project in Utah, over there in the States. It's very much a clean lithium project, and it's of the direct extraction type. It's distinct from our lithium production here in Australia from hard rock sources and the solar evaporation ponds they use over in South America. Now, we've got Bruce Richardson with us. He's the executive chairman and CEO of the company, and Bruce will be giving us a rundown on plans to get Paradox into production sometime around 24, 25, hopefully. So with that, I'll say, g'day, Bruce. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Barry. Nice to meet you.
Now, Bruce, interesting project, Paradox. I've just mentioned there that it is different to what most investors in this market would understand to be a lithium project that's being hard rock or the evaporation systems they use over in South America. So just give us a bit of a history around the project and where you're at in terms of building a resource base there and then moving taking those steps to get it into production.
Thanks, Barry. Well, the Paradox Lithium Project is a slightly different project to South America or hard rock spodumene in Australia. So our project is actually a brine project. Most similar would be to South America. But the difference is that our brine is at a depth of around about 6,000 feet. So this brine is found during drilling programs for oil. The oil horizon is much lower than the lithium horizon, a difference of about 1,800 feet between the two. But it was this is how the lithium was discovered, that it was during drilling programs for oil that they intersected these clastic zones within a formation. And the brine came up the oil well or the drilling well over the crew. And people thought that it might be a potash project. They assayed for it some 50 years ago. They left the assays behind. There was not enough potash in there that there was lithium and bromine and other minerals. So over the past few years, we've been doing drilling programs, what we call re-entry programs. So we re-enter existing oil wells. We then perforate the casing of the well at a depth that where we know that this brine exists. It's around about 6,500 feet below surface. And we then perforate the casing, and the brine, in this case, flows into the casing and comes up to the top of the well. And we're able to measure the lithium content from the samples we've taken from those flows, pressures, temperature, etc. So one of the questions we often get asked is about what happens if the pressure drops. Well, the pressure actually remains constant. The flow rates that we've done, it's dissimilar to oil, that it's not in a pod, but more like a sea. So it covers a very large area with thickness around 10 to 30 feet. So we have quite an extensive area to cover there with our project.
So to date, the indication is that no pumping is required. The brine is free flowing, as it were.
Yeah. So we have an unusual or unique geological feature there called Roberts rupture, which causes the overpressuring and pushes the brine to surface. So for a product like lithium, where you want to be as green as possible, as you say, we don't need to pump. It comes up to the surface under its own pressure and also has enough pressure to push itself to the location of the processing plant. So that's also a saving as far as needing to have diesel generators and trucks bringing that diesel and the dust they cause. So all those emissions are controlled due to the overpressuring and the ability of this brine to flow to surface.
Right. So accessing the prospective horizon through the old oil wells. I take it there's these old oil wells pepper the area, do they? They're everywhere, are they?
Yeah, if you look at our presentations, you'll see a lot of black dots on the map, and they are the oil wells. So some of them are still in production. They're still drilling new wells in the area, particularly with the current high oil price. They're still out there drilling, but we're in a different location. So generally that oil is in pods, and ours is in a much larger area, and that results in the pressure being fairly constant over a long period.
Right. So if you were starting from scratch and there was the oil was just incidental, you're obviously saving huge amounts in drilling costs accessing the resource.
Yeah, as far as exploration is concerned, yes. But when we come to production, we'll be drilling new wells. In fact, we've prepared two pads for the wells to go onto, and those the diameter of the wells will be much greater, so allowing a much bigger flow. So the pressure has been measured and engineered, so determine the actual optimal size of the extraction well. So an oil well is generally much smaller, the diameter is much smaller, so less flow. But if you have a bigger diameter up to a certain size, you maintain the pressure, but you get the flow. So we'll be drilling a number of production wells, and we're already in the process of preparing for that. We have the pads ready, and we need to locate and bring to site some large, very large rigs to drill the sort of holes that the wells that we need.
Yeah, okay. Now, direct extraction lithium is often referred to as green lithium or clean lithium. Ooh. Just run through for investors some of the reasons why that is the case.
Well, you know, the evaporation ponds, there's a couple of points to them. One is that they're not particularly friendly to animals in the area or birds in the area. A bit more difficult these days to get approval for those. You also lose a lot of your lithium when you're moving it from well to well. So how they start off, eight wells and then four wells and then two wells. Mm-hmm. As the sun evaporates the water, you concentrate the lithium up to a certain point before you take it off to, somewhere to clean up, purify, concentrate, and then eventually turn into lithium carbonate or hydroxide. So the DLE process, it's internal, so it's in a plant, controlled environment. In our case, what we use is a DLE, which is able to extract the lithium only, you know, so onto a resin, and then we use water to wash the lithium from the resin. Some DLEs use chemicals, sulfuric or hydrochloric acid, to wash the lithium from the resin, from different type of resin. In fact, we tried around about, I think we all know, five different ways of processing. And the one that we selected, we're very pleased that it's able to use water. And that's a lot easier to control, environmentally easier to control. You can recycle it relatively easily and have less of an impact on the environment. So all that's good. And if you can find a way of powering your DLE with your own power, so in our case we get a nice bonus there because it comes to surface under its own pressure, then it also makes that even more attractive to potential offtake partners, manufacturers of batteries and cars that are looking for those attributes.
So there is a JORC resource, but you're in the process of drilling programs to grow that resource. Tell us about the existing resource.
The existing resource is around about 186,000 tonnes indicated and inferred, and that supports production of around about 2,500 tonnes of lithium, so a modest amount. But we have a very big exploration target. And at present, what we're doing is a drilling program to increase our JORC resource, which would support a higher production rate of lithium carbonate equivalent, or LCE. Currently, there are two wells that we're focusing on to increase the JORC resource vertically. So we're going deeper into the next unit, the next geological unit below where we've previously gone, something called the Mississippian unit. And within that, the brine is known to exist. So we're going to go down to that level and we're going to test those brines for lithium. And then hopefully that will result in a higher JORC result. Mm-hmm. We're also expanding to the west with two additional wells that we want to drill in that direction. One's called Sunburst and Mineral Canyon. Again, they're exploration oil exploration wells that we want to go into, not only sample the Paradox formations where we've previously found our resource, but also go down to the Mississippi in there as well. So we've got a vertical and horizontal strategy to increase the resource. Currently, we are drilling at Long Canyon, number two well, a well that we went into previously. We're on the way down into the Mississippian now, and we hope that within a couple of weeks we will be able to reach that the level where that brine is located and sample it and then assays and then on to JORC resource.
Mm. And just be sure that figure you gave before, that was contained lithium within brines, was it?
Yes, it's LCE, so 186,000 tons of LCE.
You mentioned there that initially planning, thinking has been around a stage one, sort of a 2,600 tons per annum of lithium carbonate. Not large, but it looks very large given current prices for lithium carbonate.
Yeah, so we responded to that market change, and that's why we've increased our investment in exploration activities to push the JORC up, and of course that would be to support a larger production rate. That's why you do it, right? So and we've been working on that now for about 6 months, and things are starting to come together, and in the not too distant future, probably around July, we think that that program will result in some increase in our JORC resource.
As it is, you've already got a 20-year plus plant life and internal rate of return of more than 30%, and that's using quite conservative lithium carbonate prices. So very much a moving feast, both the obviously the lithium market itself, and I imagine what end result you in, what final decision you make on what just how big stage one will be.
Yes, that'll have an impact, because the JORC resource would be used to, in the current DFS that we're doing. So as you may know, we're doing a DFS with Worley Engineering in the US. So we're using the Denver office. We like using third parties so we get things more accurate. And that's been rolling along now for about the same period, about 6 months. We should be finished that around about July. So the JORC resource recalculation, if that all works out the way we hope, will be fed into that DFS. And then we'll get some very interesting financial results or financial estimates from the combination of that drilling program and the detailed engineering study that Worley's doing for us at the moment.
We haven't mentioned the potential for an additional revenue source to the lithium. Can you talk a bit about what the bromine,
yeah, that's right. It's one of those, isn't it?
What's the importance of that overall?
So within the same brine, the same bucket of brine, you would have lithium, but also bromine and other things, boron and a number of other minerals. The bromine is particularly high. So bromine we don't have in Australia. No one's made a discovery of a bromine concentration. There's not many companies in the world that produce bromine, only six, two of them in the United States. One's called Albemarle, which is more famous for its lithium than its bromine. And another one called Lanxess, which is an offshoot of Bayer. So these companies make a number of different products from the bromine. One is a fire retardant. So in the screen you're probably looking at now, your telephone, your sofa at home, and et cetera, car, dashboard, seats, anything with foam, plastic would have a fire retardant in it. And most likely that's going to be some type of a bromine polymer. And that's the main use that it has for at the moment. But there is a growing use also for zinc bromine battery. So that's a alternative to the lithium battery and used for stationary purposes. It's usually liquid or a gel. So it doesn't go so well in your car. So you wouldn't want to fill your car with liquid. But as the lithium price has increased, there's been a lot of interest in this new technology, zinc bromine. In the States, a number of existing manufacturers are already gearing up and getting orders for stationary battery use, windmills, wind farms, solar farms, that type of thing, anything stationary rather than utility companies going back to coal. They're already looking for the alternatives, but the lithium battery doesn't always doesn't work as well as the zinc bromine battery. So there's a a new opportunity there. So we're already seeing very good growth in the bromine market, so about 5% CAGR. That does not include the bromine, zinc bromine battery, which is expected to add on to that and create additional demand. So what that means for us is as we pull the lithium out of the brine, we also have bromine in the brine. We could add on an additional plant to extract that bromine and then start selling the bromine to possible manufacturers of stationary zinc bromine batteries in the US or elsewhere.
So these stationary zinc bromine batteries, obviously large scale, almost grid scale. You recently announced a collaboration for production of the bromine with Tetra, the New York Stock Exchange listed company. Tell us a bit about them, what the nature of the memorandum of understanding was, or the collaboration agreement.
Yeah, so we've been talking to Tetra for a number of years. They're interested in the bromine. They make a product which is uses the bromine as a weight for offshore oil drilling. It suppresses gas surges. They're probably number one in that market. And their demand, of course, even with the recent oil prices gone higher, but it was already high, a couple of years ago. And they forecast their business growing quite quickly. So they're interested in the bromine that we have for that need, but also they've been working on that zinc bromine battery. So they've developed a number of derivatives from their bromine production. So they have their own conversion plant. So they buy the bromine on the market and they make a number of products, zinc bromine being one of them. And during this period over a number of, 20 years of making zinc bromine, they've developed very good technology, something that we would be interested in. So it's a conversion of the bromine as it comes out of the brine, and then you make it into ZnBr, zinc bromine, or CaBr, or sodium bromide, all having different purposes, but all having substantial growth rates.
I guess I'm not alone in not having no clue as to what bromine fetches. Obviously, it's not a terminal market traded product, but I was just wondering if you could give us a feel for, on a sort of revenue split going forward, is bromine going to be 10, 20% of revenue, or 30%, do you think?
Well, we have a lot more bromine than we do lithium. So the concentration of bromine in our brine is around about 3,500 ppm, and we have around about 170 ppm of lithium. So that in the same bucket, you've got more bromine than lithium. The forecast, I guess, was what we look at, is how much additional bromine is required. So the market for bromine is not as large as that for lithium. And so while we could produce a lot of bromine from the same brine that we extract lithium from, there's probably not a market that size. So we'd only convert some of the bromine in the brine to product, and the rest of it we'd put back, and perhaps in the future come back and extract it. So in our process, we re-inject it. We put it back under the ground in a similar layer to where we take it from. Okay, that sort of puts a limit on the revenue stream. So roughly speaking, I guess it'll be up to, depending on how much you're producing, of course. So that's the trick of it, right? So if it's sort of a moderate scale, it'd be maybe 20% of the revenue. So that'd be additional revenue. If you did more production of lithium, of course, that would drop down. So maybe depending on how much you produced, there's a difference in the revenue generation as a percentage.
Well, one thing that is quite clear is that lithium projects where there is a co-product, or in this case a byproduct, tend to be very much down, to the left-hand side of the cost curve. So is that the expectation with Paradox?
Certainly it provides a credit to our costs. So our costs that we published last year in the updated PEA are available there. The DFS that we're doing now will give a revised estimate, and that will be quite interesting. And then if we do decide to move ahead with the bromine, that would be a credit, and it would certainly put us in a very the lower end of the cost curve there, or the lower quartile of lithium production costs.
All right, interesting one. Now, Bruce, if we could just bring it all together and give investors a feel for, you've obviously got a lot of work underway, but if you can just summarise what the key milestones will be as 2022 unfolds.
Sure. So we have the drilling program going on, so we expect that will be completed middle of this year, so around about July. That's a key thing, and that will give us additional resource to support the DFS. So we feed that into the DFS. DFS will be completed around about same time, mid-July, and we will be able to provide the market with an update on the financial estimates. It'll be much more accurate than previously done because it is a DFS, so a lot more it's fed into, a lot more drawings and calls to companies about possible costs of their equipment and so on. So that's all well coming to a head around about July. So from there, we'll be continuing to expand our JORC resource over the rest of the year. We've really more or less completed our test work. We've done a number of tests, both from laptop or assessment or assay assessment right through to giving it to Novonics and then running it through batteries for 3 months. So we know we have a very high quality product. And then we'll be out talking to offtake partners, end users, marketing our product, and then raising the money for the next step of the next stage of the project of actually getting in and building the project and sourcing the equipment, putting it all together, getting all the government final government approvals, etc. So that'll be a very busy second half of 2022.
There we go, folks. Very interesting story from an ASX company with a very advanced lithium project in Utah, just as the lithium market goes into what some people are describing as perpetual supply deficits. Anson well poised to capitalise on that at this Paradox project. So with that, Bruce, thanks for your time today. Very interesting story, and best of luck with it all.
Thanks, Barry. Appreciate it.